Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
Today on Know-How,
Synology Madness Part 3.
We're going to roll our own. Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and hide under sets. I am Father Robert Ballister.
I'm Jason Howell, the tallest person to ever hide underneath this little tiny thing.
I didn't actually think you'd make it all the way down below the frame.
I had to go around a router, a stool down there, a bunch of cables. It was not easy.
It was not. And, you know, that's a whole lot of person to put in a little bit of space.
Yeah, totally. Yes, exactly. It reminds me of something.
Oh, that's right. Well, no, the opposite. A whole little bit of stuff to put in a lot of space. You want to explain what just happened before the show, Jason?
Okay, so I came to work, and there was a gigantic box in my office.
Awesome.
And
always
it was
good.
From Amazon, yeah, and you're like, good. Oh, wow, I didn't know that I ordered something really gigantic. I thought maybe my wife had. So then I picked it up and I realized it was super light, and I knew almost immediately what was inside. I did film the unboxing, but I haven't posted it yet.
Before you say it, let's give the audience just a moment to consider what the host of All About Android might have in a huge Prime box.
Yeah.
And then in 3, 2, 1, Alex, show them.
Oh my goodness, that entire box was filled with one single package of Oreo cookies. And I'm not even kidding. Everything that you see there was inside the box.
Oh,
that's
my
it.
Gosh.
Down at the very bottom on one of those three partitions was a little package of Oreo cookies. Thank you, Amazon, for killing our world.
You know, I think anyone who's ever ordered from Amazon a decent amount has had that experience.
I've never had that experience.
I appreciate the fact that they want to protect my stuff. And actually, this is germane to a tech show because we get a lot of our stuff from Amazon. But
yeah,
that's,
I guess,
a little bit ridiculous.
I just think there's something out of balance there. And, you know, even from a cost perspective, we were talking about it a little bit before the show started. Like, if they had gone smaller and then the cookie came crumbled, like,
right,
I imagine it
You'd
would cost less to just replace that,
yeah,
than it did for them to go through to that length to get me a intact. And I'm sorry that it's kettle corn Oreo. Look, I do it because of this show. I didn't do this because I actually thought this was going to taste
good. We should make that clear. You get a lot of flavors that are disgusting just because you need more flavors, right?
I think Amazon's judging me. They're like, oh, you're ordering those? Here, check this out.
You want this flavor? Yeah, you get all this.
This
too.
Is what you get.
Now, I also, one other thing is the fact that they put the cookies on the bottom and then put the packing material on the top. So it was well protected as long as it didn't land on its bottom.
I suppose so, but now I'm thinking about it, and even if they had put it in on the top, there was so much extra room inside of there. I mean, it was basically like a big cave stuffed with toilet paper. That's about all it was. Of course it's going to fall to the bottom while it's being shoveled, yeah, around the world.
So folks, really good know-how tip. If you are moving this summer, say moving out of a dorm, what you need to do is order separately like 5 boxes of cookies for $3 a pop with Prime shipping.
You just saved yourself some money.
You get shipping boxes, yep, and you get packing material.
Yep, perfect.
What? Life hack. Very hashtag nice. That thing. Okay, no, we're not here to talk about cookies, although they're good, or Amazon. We're here to talk about Synology Madness. Now, yeah, Jason, the last two episodes we did with Synology have, well, I'd say been well received.
Yeah, people like their Synology, yeah, episodes.
And I've gotten a lot of comments from people saying, oh, you know, because of this, I bought a Synology box and I can't believe all the things that it can do. And yes, it is amazing. I love the fact that it is so extensible. I love the fact that it's fast. Funny thing, QNAP, which is one of the main competitors to Synology, actually reached out. And they're like, hey, we saw that you like Synology. We'd love to send a couple of our boxes. You want to check us out? And we will. I mean, I like them. It's just, mm-hmm, right now I'm a big Synology
fan. Have you played around with QNAP before?
To be fair to them, the last time I played with a QNAP box was probably about 8 years ago. It was exceptionally good, but Synology was better. And so for me, it was like, yeah, it's good. There's nothing wrong with a QNAP box. In fact, there's some things a QNAP box will do that a Synology box won't. Like, they have one that has HDMI out, so it actually becomes your entertainment system.
Oh, that's nice.
But like for that. What I do, which is a little more enterprise-y, small business, mm-hmm, Synology is in the sweet spot. And you know how, like, when you're in the sweet spot, you can come out of the sweet spot, but why? right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
however,
check it out.
What we wanted to do is we wanted to give you another little tutorial on how to further enhance what you do with your box. Now, we've already shown people how they can access it remotely using a built-in tool that comes in the box. Literally, it's in the box. When you turn the thing on, you can access it, your box, from anywhere in the world securely.
Yeah.
We've also shown them how to do a couple of things with media. Mm-hmm. And today what we wanted to do was to show you how you could take some of the services that you commonly take for granted that are in the cloud, things like Dropbox or OneDrive or Google Photos or Google Documents, and actually run your own version on your box. Now, the question is going to be, why would I do that, right?
Well, I think right now is the perfect time to talk about something like this, because I think now more than ever, people are starting to realize that there is some currency to their data on the side of the companies that hold on to it. Cloud is incredibly convenient. You know, all of these services that are based in the cloud, like, they make our lives much more convenient. And for the longest time, we've been okay kind of handing over that data and not really thinking about what could possibly happen to that data. How could we not, you know, wish later in life that we hadn't done that?
Precisely.
What are the ways that, you know, that could materialize over time that make us maybe regret that or second guess it or even back it up, right? Like, if you're putting all of your photos into Google Photos library online and you don't keep a local archive of that, it's not really a backup. It's a single device that you're storing on in the cloud. And hey, by the way, if you lose access to your Google account, bye-bye photos. So right. there are a number of ways right now, specifically, why this is a good idea.
Exactly. And you know, that's the thing for me. These applications have actually been around for a while. I've never really shown them off on KnowHow because I didn't feel the need to, because Google Photos is exceptional. I love Google Photos.
Yeah, me too.
Google Documents is really good in a pinch if I only have access to a browser and not my regular laptop. Mm-hmm. And then I've got Dropbox and OneDrive that handle all my cloud storage. And they'll do it much faster than anything that I could roll on my own. What has changed, and this is what you've talked about, is the atmosphere in which we live has changed, right? It's not as simple anymore, because you are always thinking, do I want to put the things that I own, my digital property, into a place where it's not really recognized as property yet? Mm-hmm. And we've got things like the Cloud Act. I'm not going to get political, but things like the Cloud Act, which basically allows any government who's friendly with the United States to peer into your digital property without you even being notified. So if you're one of these people who said, okay, look, I like the cloud, I love what it gives me, I love the functionality that I can get, but there are some things that I think are precious to me and I never want to touch the cloud, then this is the episode for you.
Cool.
So let's do it. Now, the first thing we want to do, and actually there is an order to this, because the way Synology has layered their apps is one kind of requires the next, right? So in order to have the Google Photos type application, you need to have the functionality of the Quick Connect that we showed you in episode one of the series.
Would you say that Quick Connect is kind of the hub that all of these tangential apps connect into?
Precisely, because what it allows you to do is it allows you, and again, go back to episode one of Synology Madness if you want to know how to do this, it allows you to put your NAS on the internet without exposing your NAS. The old way to do it was you opened up a hole in your firewall so that you could come back in. But it meant a couple things. First, it meant that you needed to know your IP address, or you needed to have something like a dynamic domain name system, DDNS, hooked up so that you could find your way back to your NAS. Mm-hmm. That's annoying, but it's not insurmountable. The thing that I didn't like was opening up a port in your firewall. Anytime you do that, it's not just you. The rest of the world can see that port too. And we're now in an age where that's a bad thing. You know, don't add any vulnerabilities to your system. This gets around that, the Synology Quick Connect system, by never opening up a port from the outside. What it does is this pings the Synology server. You connect to the Synology server. And so the next time it pings, the Synology server tells this, hey, your owner would like to come in. Let's start a connection. Mm-hmm. But the nice thing about that is there is no hole in the firewall, and it is not an inbound connection. It's outbound from your NAS, which means all of your security stays in place. It's much better. It's a much better way to do it. And in fact, that's pretty much how the Internet of Things needs to go.
It only goes out based on how you've determined it, right?
Right. So rather,
someone couldn't connect to it from the outside and be like, I'm going to change the behavior of
thing
and give me, slurp up all your data.
Precisely. So if I had opened up a hole in my firewall, opened up a port so that I could run the service, anyone from the outside could see that, and they could just start running a bunch of attacks. And if there happens to be an attack that I have not patched yet, suddenly they have access and control of my tool. I don't want that. That's bad. That's super, super bad because that's inside my network. So now basically if I allowed someone into my network.
Right.
This never opens up a service. All it does is it's like saying, okay, well, we're going to have a meeting place over there. And I'm gonna keep looking. And when you show up at the meeting place, then I will talk to you. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what Direct Connect is.
God, doesn't have anything better to do than to just keep looking over there?
No, just because like that's what you hired it for, man.
That's true.
Yeah,
cool. Is it watching Netflix while it's doing that? Like, that must be really boring.
So, Netflix and NAS?
Netflix. Yeah, anyways.
Yeah, yeah. All right. No, but okay, so that was the first. All of that was a long way to get around to the fact that that was the first part.
Okay.
So, I need a way to get to my box, just like I would put photos.google.com or drive.google.com or dropbox.com. My Quick Connect address, which is unique when you set it up, becomes my cloud service. But the nice thing is it only exists on that box. And that's what we want, right?
Very nice, okay. Yeah.
So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to install Drive. Now, this is important because a lot of your other functionality goes on top of the Drive. If you go ahead and go to my computer, there we go. This is, look, I got all my GDPR updates. Yay, thank you. Actually, that was probably the least painful GDPR I've received. So this is the Package Center. This is the one that we've been playing with the last couple of episodes. You're going to love it because it makes it so easy to install plugins and new services on your Synology NAS. You will have to have your Quick Connect ID enabled. You will be using a local user account to connect your devices to the server. So you have to make sure that you already have an account set up on your NAS. Now, just to refresh the people who maybe didn't watch that episode, on this particular NAS, I've got a couple of users. I've got the admin, I've got Blackrobe, which is me, I've disabled the guest account, I've got Jason, and I've got Plex. And actually, that I just teased next week's episode. We're going to be...
Spoiler!
We're going to be doing
cool.
Network
I'm DVR. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, that's a good. Actually, it's a really good way to say
it. I can't wait to watch that one.
It's like a cord-cutting episode. All right, so I've got... These are my accounts. You can set up as many as you want, but just remember that you need to set permissions properly because you are going to be allowing these people to quick connect to your device. So if you give them an account and you don't properly monitor their permissions, you might accidentally give them access to a folder that they shouldn't have access to. And unfortunately, that's all on you. This is another one of the things about rolling your own cloud, which is you are now responsible for your own security permissions. All right, so I'm going to go and drop out of that. The thing that I'm looking for is called Drive. So if I just put Drive, there it is. It's already loaded up on my computer because I've already installed it. But it would be literally as easy as, like let me install Cloud Sync. I would hit install. It would download itself. It would install itself. And then it would automatically update itself. Another quick tip, if you've got a Synology NAS, it will default to update automatically. Please don't turn that off. Just go ahead and set the schedule so that it does all the updating when you're sleeping, but don't turn that off because I know there's going to be some people out there who said, no, I want you to update when I want you to update, but you're going to forget, and you do not want the device that's going to be holding all of your precious digital property to be unpatched.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's go ahead and go back into this. I'm going to drop into the Drive. Now, the admin console is super, super simple. There's both an Android and an iOS version because that's primarily how I'm going to be using it. If I want to use this on a laptop or a desktop, all I have to do is go to my Quick Connect ID. And again, if you want to know what that is, go watch episode 1 of the series. And it works just like Google Drive. So I will have access to all of this. All of this that I'm seeing on my screen right now, that is accessible anywhere in the world. Okay? So once I have this, I can do everything from looking at the log to see who's uploaded and who's downloaded. This shows me the system activity that's been happening. I'm going to go ahead and zoom in. I can't zoom in anymore. There we go. You'll notice these are a lot of images. And that's because we're going to be doing in the second segment of the show what's called Moments, which is sort of the Google Photos replacement. So this knows what files are going in and what files are coming out. This is super important
for all users.
Folks. All users.
All
right.
Users. Okay.
Well, as long as I'm an administrator. If I'm
right,
an administrator,
right. Yeah,
I can see.
If
not, I only see my own.
Right.
Right. So here, this shows you, actually there's a couple here that look like they're from you because they have different styles of tagging.
They probably are.
Right. So both of us are accessing this NAS right now. Our phones are automatically backing up documents and pictures. Mm-hmm. But here's the cool thing. I can't access your documents. You can't access my documents.
Stay out of my documents.
And this is what we want, right?
Yeah, good. It is. Heck
so,
yeah.
This is extremely good if you run like a small office, because you can have everything in one box, but everyone maintains privacy.
With all those people connecting and transferring and everything, like, does the box ever get tapped out as far as all that data throughput?
I mean, not this model. Yeah, the models that we
maybe
have...
Maybe it's possible, but it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. So, like, if you take one of the smaller boxes, like the 2-bay that we showed off a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
you know, if you had an office of 30, you might start to notice a little bit of lag. But something like this with a 10-gig interface,
Okay.
No. Yeah, cool. You will run out of employees before you run out of bandwidth. Mm-hmm. Just saying. I mean, unless you're running a 10,000-seat enterprise, you're fine. All right, so here's what we need to do. Once we install this and we enter the Quick Connect ID, I want to make sure I'm not actually accidentally going to show this. Very good. Go ahead and come back over. I can tell it what do I want to sync. So I'm going to let people sync music. I'm going to let them sync videos, images, documents, others, et cetera, et cetera. And I can say, look, I want you to store documents here, but I really don't want your personal photos. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to unclick that. Or this is only a photo server. I'm going to unclick everything else. There's another server that takes care of documents. I've actually done that too. I've split responsibilities between NASs so that I always know this one's got the video files, this one's got the picture files, this one's got the documents. Mm-hmm. So if I ever need to back up, I always have a clean copy of just what's there.
Right.
Again, that's just me. You can set this up any way you want. But what I like is the fact that Synology gives you that flexibility. You can say what's going to be on the box and then limit your users to just what you want on that box.
Nice.
All right, so let's go ahead and show you how this actually works. I've gone ahead and installed this. If you go to the overhead. Wow, I'm actually writes it up. That's amazing. This is the Drive application. Now, I got to say, this is super, super rudimentary. Okay, if you've used Google Drive, this is not to the level of Google Drive. Not yet. They can keep improving it. It's actually getting much, much better.
Yeah, it looks stripped down.
It is stripped down.
The interface is very familiar.
But see, so like this gives me some of the different documents that I've currently got uploaded. And there you go. I've actually got it tied into my mobile office. And so this allows me to access. No, go away.
Come on, Raid Excel.
Yeah, baby, come on.
You like me, right?
So this is actually going out through the internet, back in through the Quick Connect service to my NAS, and then coming back to my phone.
Hmm.
That was pretty snappy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
It was nice and quick. Yeah. So
I mean, even Google Drive can be slow. You know what I mean? So you're not guaranteed that you're going to get everything super snappy anyways.
And it will do all the other things that you've come to expect from services. So like I can select multiple items. Then I can either download them or I can share them. I can push them to somebody else. Where is this?
Tag them.
Yeah, I can forward them.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about the Synology Drive is it really is designed for teams. So I could say, hey, take this document and send it to everyone in my team. And in that user's account setting, I can say who belongs to which team. It's a nice way to spam everybody. Mm-hmm. So this works perfectly well, especially when you combine this with the Quick Connect ID that I can access on both my desktop and my laptop. It means I now have something that has, I'll call it 92% of the functionality of Google Drive, but allows me to use all of the tools I've already purchased from Microsoft Office, which, by the way, not even Google Drive really lets you do that, because Google really wants you to use their spreadsheet and their word processor, which it works. I mean, that's what we use here at Twit, but my organizations are heavily invested in Microsoft. So the fact that I can have a tool that keeps everything private, gives me the functionality of a Google Drive, and yet lets me use the software I've already bought, that's crazy powerful, Jason.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. So, okay, that's the Drive and that's the docs. But if you want the docs, you do have to install something else. If you come back to my computer over here, let me show you the installed one. So I've got where is it? PHP and the various servers. So Drive is there. Where's Office? So Office is a separate package that you also have to install, but it's as easy to install as the Drive package was. You just click, you choose it, you click install, and you let it go. You know, I was really looking for downsides of this. I was using this during my last trip when I went to Rome and then I went to Canada. And it maintained connectivity everywhere I was except for... When did you say that? Like, there was a time where I had no access to documents.
Yeah, in the last couple of days, there was a power issue in our office, and I think that kind of killed the server, and no one was here to turn it back on. I discovered it yesterday and turned it back on, but
Let me paraphrase it for the audience here. So essentially what we found out was Jason was on the same circuit as my workstations, and you shouldn't do that.
Apparently that's a bad idea. What are you doing on your workstation?
Lot of current.
Yes, exactly.
He was wondering why his Mac was randomly rebooting. It might have been because my monster monitor and the soldering station and all the little gadgets I have pull a bit too much power.
It never did that before, though. So you added something.
What did I add? Oh, I know what I added. I might have added a couple of extra servers.
Oh, well, that'll do it.
Sorry.
Totally, it's okay. Don't apologize.
Totally my bad. All right, so let's go ahead and move on. We've got our Dropbox and our Drive functionality. I now have the ability to move files up and down. I now have the ability to run Office. Here's the one that I actually really like because of the fact that I think Synology has done an exceptional job in creating it. They call it Moments.
Moments.
And actually, I think if you go to the link for the client for this is what Synology Moments looks like. Again, they have both an iOS and an Android version of this. This is Google Photos. But here's the cool thing. There are other NASs, QNAP included, that can do something like this. They can do an automatic backup. But they typically only want to do it when you're on the local network. So when you come home, then you can go ahead and upload. Mm-hmm. But because this has that quick connect functionality, it means I can be anywhere in the world, and I can say, hey, you know what? When I'm connected to Wi-Fi, go ahead and push these pictures back to my NAS. And unlike Google Photos, you will get full resolution. I mean, you can get that on Google Photos.
But you get that if you have a Pixel, basically.
Or if you pay.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Or if you pay.
So what this does is basically as big as your NAS, all of your videos, all of your photos in perfect resolution. And I can't tell you how much I've loved this because I love the functionality of Google Photos. And in fact, when I'm doing video editing, a lot of times I'll jump back into that and I'll go, okay, do I have anything from this? And I love the fact that I can search for something and say like beach, and it will give me all the shots I have of beaches.
Well, and so much of that is driven by Google's intense, you know, research and development of its AI backend. Mm-hmm. How can that interplay with this, or does it with Moments? Are there any auto awesomes in this app?
And I know you're looking for me to say no. I'm sorry, but the answer is yes. Oh, actually, okay. That's what makes it so killer. Synology has, I'm not going to call it AI, but they've built in machine learning into the software.
Okay,
and it's all done locally. Here, the thing about machine learning on your phone when you're doing Google Photos is again you are requiring an external server to take your data, parse through it, do all the processing, and then send you a notification. That's all happening in the cloud. This does it all in this box. There is no outside server that's looking through your photos or your videos to categorize them. It's all that intelligence is built into the software.
Very nice. Okay.
So if you come back to here we go. So this is the interface that as it looks like from my desktop or my laptop. So again, I'm using the Quick Connect feature. I've connected to my NAS, and these are the photos that are uploading. Now, here's the thing. All of this is just my phone. So the Jason also has his photos there. However, he doesn't have access to my photos, and I don't have access to his photos. Again, this was set up in that user preferences. It's the same thing I did with Drive, which is cool because it means just like photos. Oh, by the way, I love this. This is at the Atlanta airport. It's a machine. For free, while you're waiting for your airplane, you can learn how to do CPR.
Oh, that's cool.
Right?
I like that.
It gives you a little tutorial. And then this little thing here, it's a chest analog.
Right.
So you have to do compressions, and it like gives you a little beat timer.
Oh, that's so neat.
They move it around the country, and I don't think it's in Atlanta anymore. But if you do happen to go through Atlanta, do this. Jason, you know how important CPR is.
Absolutely.
So I've got all my photos. These are all thumbnail versions of the highest resolution. I think this is Amsterdam, actually. No, that's probably Atlanta. That's a 787. And I can go back through all of my my photos. Notice how they are cataloged just like they are in Google Photos. So I've got them by date. And I can also search for particular terms. Like, let me see. I haven't tried this, so this is a cold go. And by the way, it also takes a while for it to catalog. So it doesn't always come up properly. But put dog, and this is all on the app. This is not going out to the web. This is not going out to Google Photos. But it knows well enough.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay, so I got...
At what point did it analyze the photos to say these are dog pictures? This is wrong.
I can go back. See? That was wrong. Right,
there are
exactly.
No cats.
So here's the thing. It will learn. It will learn. So just like you would on a machine learning app on your phone, you have to say, no, that wasn't right.
Oh, okay.
And it will learn from that.
Thumbs down the category and
precisely
force it to work again.
This will also do collages. It will, and that won't do like auto awesome, but something very similar.
Very nice.
Yeah, there. And let me show you what the app looks like. So if you come here, go to the overhead. There we go. So I've got my drive. Here's my moments. By the way, I love this photo. This is from the Maker Faire. I think they're taking recycling to a bad conclusion.
We didn't need those people anyway. So it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. So I have mine set to automatically. So this is an auto awesome.
That moments created.
Right. So it took.
So it saw
it
the action.
The video.
Oh, okay.
And it went ahead and it did this little looping animation.
Nice.
And it's like, whoa! It actually kind of figured out my humor. It knew that I kind of like videos like this, and it made something funny. I don't know how they built that intelligence into the device, because it doesn't do that for every video.
That's cool.
By the way, that's...
Super hot?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They recognize their own, folks.
I know. I can watch someone playing it and know a mile away.
So, actually, that's stylized, because this was not a blurred photo. So, I want to talk to the people who programmed this and say, okay, so when you see a picture that looks like it should have motion, do you just kind of blur the edges?
Right.
That's kind of one of the fun things. I'm discovering a bunch of ways that they've tweaked this. It's not just a pure photo uploader anymore. They're actually giving you something that didn't exist before. I love this.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. And again, the nice thing about all this is it's completely free. If you own a Synology NAS, all of this, it does need to be installed, but the installs are free. The software is free. You never pay an additional dime for any of these services. I love that. I mean, that's
fantastic.
You buy a NAS and you get a cloud service for free.
How frequently are new apps being updated or added to kind of this suite of apps in this category?
That's hard to say because Synology has really quickened the pace over the last couple of months. I think the cloud offerings kind of languished for 8-9 months for a while there because they didn't really see a big demand. But as people were starting to realize, maybe this shouldn't be in the public cloud, the whole idea of having a private cloud that had the same functionality has really started to appeal to some people.
Yeah. Very nice. And I think, excuse me, I think at this point it's heartening to see that the app quality is actually up there too, because a lot of times, the app that coexists with the hardware, blah blah blah. The companies, it might not be their main focus. Synology may just be more of a hardware company than a software company, and the software does the trick, but doesn't quite stand up to modern day design or functionality or whatever. But these apps look pretty great. They actually look very analogous to a lot of the what I see with Google apps.
And I know people are going to say, oh, they just stole the Google Plus design and Google Photos design. I'll say, good. The Google Photos is actually quite good, and I'm used to that. So if you can give me something I'm accustomed to, why wouldn't I use it?
Yeah, not to mention, as far as gallery.
Show some of yours.
As far as gallery apps are concerned, it's really hard to do design that's very differentiated when you're talking about square thumbnail, some sort of a thumbnail.
I guess they could turn them crooked and put them top of each other.
They can make changes for change's sake, and it wouldn't be nearly as usable. This is just a way that this UI actually works, this experience.
Yeah.
So,
and here's the thing. When these apps first came out, 3 years ago, I did install a couple of them and I immediately uninstalled them because they kept crashing. And then that's that whole, okay, I get it. You're not
halfway there.
Software developer. Yeah. You're a NAS company also makes routers. Now I did not have one single crash. I had one issue when the power cut over here. But other than that, it's been rock solid.
Yeah.
I think the biggest concern would be, well, if it's private cloud, it means if my network goes down, I won't have access to my stuff, which is true. That's a drawback. That's a trade-off you're going to make. If your home network goes down, you don't have no one to kick it or reset it for you.
Right.
You lose connectivity until
like you
can
have
get back there.
A cloud team monitoring that it's up 24/7 in your home.
Precisely.
You probably don't want that.
You probably
right?
don't. No. but that's a trade-off. That's going to be your trade-off. And here's what I this is the way I use it. Because I am using my phone far more often for editing, I will have this backup, the full resolution versions of my photos and my videos to my NAS. Mm-hmm. And I will also have it backup to Google Photos. So I can search through Google Photos. And then if I find something and I really need higher resolution versions, I can go back to my NAS and say, okay, I'll pull it off of that.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, folks, you can roll what level of security, privacy, and connectivity you want.
Roll your own.
Yeah. By the way, I should say my original idea was I was going to show you the process for installing all this stuff. And the reason why we did that is because it's incredibly boring. Because there's literally no drama anymore.
Right.
And that used to be
a great thing, right?
That is so great. I mean, it used to be, oh gosh, a port number and then the password and admin.
Well, yeah, and that's an interesting point that you bring up because I feel like it kind of ties into something that we've been seeing in the last couple of years that I feel personally is really important. Networking, bringing multiple Wi-Fi extenders into your home, doing this kind of advanced, networking of your media and making that travel through the internet as if it were a cloud server. All these things would have been very complicated for just an ordinary person to set up 5 years ago, let's say. They were things that I would have loved to do then. But even me, like networking just isn't my strong suit.
Right.
And I get confused by it relatively quickly. And now they're getting to the point where you still have a lot of that power, and for the advanced user, the advanced networking user can probably get in there and do some really creative, crazy things that they're going to want to do. But it's still the other entry point is low enough that pretty much anyone can get in here and install the app and not have to worry about knowing where to look for that random IP address or whatever the case may be. Opening up that particular port, a lot of it's just kind of done for you.
Yeah, I mean, nothing that we've shown here isn't anything that we couldn't have done 15 years ago
right.
with a free Linux box. But here's the thing. As you mentioned, there'd be a lot of setup. You'd probably have to poke a hole in your firewall. Mm-hmm. You'd have to run your own services and then deal with, it doesn't quite work like an app, but hey, it's app-like.
Right.
Now, no. If you buy this box, if you can click install, if you know how to install an app on your phone, that's it. You're done.
Today I know how. Clicking the install button.
Right. This episode really could have been about 4 minutes long. It really could. But of course, we wanted to show some stuff off to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, next week, we're going to get a little bit more creative. Not next week. Sorry. Next episode of Synology Madness. It'll be the last Synology Madness I do before I move on to the other world.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Don't put it like that.
Leave this mortal coil behind. but
he's okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
He's going to be all right.
It's by request. Originally, I was going to do some more productivity stuff, but people really wanted to know if they could use this to cut the cord. And the answer is, hells yes.
Nice.
So we've got a little device that we're going to be showing off that will allow you to take over-the-air programming, which, by the way, a lot of people still don't realize you can get high-definition over-the-air programming for free almost anywhere you are. This will just become a time-shifting network DVR for you.
Nice. Sounds great. I've been wanting to do that. What stops me is not this part. It's the fact that I have to install an antenna on the top of my house because any of the in-house antennas actually don't work in Petaluma. And so I realize all that free content is out there, but I just don't want to install the on-top-of-the-house antenna. I'm just lazy.
I may actually have something for you.
Oh, geez. Yeah. You're solving all my problems, Padre.
And believe it or not, you're going to be able to do that all for about $110.
All right.
Now, last segment of the show. Again, when we did the first segment of Synology Madness, some people were saying, oh, he's using a 15, 17 plus. That's outdated. They've got a new one. Synology heard us, and they're like, oh, yeah, let's go ahead and send you that new one. So this is the 16, 18 plus. This is increased in capabilities in every single way. That was a 5-bay. This is going to be a 6-bay. More drives is more better, I believe.
Yeah, that's what they say.
You want to help me unbox this bad mamma jamma?
Oh, this now, contrary to how Amazon packs boxes,
can we
this
go to the overhead?
Is done really well. You can definitely tell that. Oh yeah, pull that out,
folks. This is how you pack.
This is the appropriate size box for the device that is inside.
Now, actually, if you open up that NAS, there is a box of Oreo cookies in there.
See?
You can just lift that up.
So you, yeah, sure. So you get. Now, I really like the stand that it comes with.
Yes. So keep
it in. It's a shock-absorbing stand.
Which, by the way, folks, if you are Filipino, what you want to do is go ahead and keep it in all this packing.
Yeah, right.
Because
you don't want it to get scratched.
I can't believe you pulled the plastic off that camera.
Oh, and if there's plastic on here, I'm pulling it off. Warning.
No, there's not. I don't think there is.
Well, we'll see about that.
You know, I actually, my mom saw that episode, and she goes, why did he pull the plastic off? I'm like, I don't know, Mom.
Because it was the right thing to do.
Can you go ahead and pull the covering off?
All right.
It's like unveiling a new car.
You got a new Synology. I just don't want to, like, pull too hard and have the thing break on live TV.
Oh.
There we go.
Sexy. All right, so this is the new Synology, the 1618 Plus. Now, if you don't know the naming convention, the second number always refers to the number of drive bays. So if it's a 1218 or 1215, it means there's two. This one was a 1517 Plus, so that's going to be five. This is a 1618. The last two numbers refers to the amount of performance you're going to get. So 18 it's pretty top of the line. This is going to have a quad-core 2.1 gigahertz processor with an encryption engine. That's important. Do not buy a NAS if you're buying it for, you know, small office, home office, without the encryption engine, because it means if you want to encrypt your files, it needs to use the power of the processor, which means you don't have that power for everything else.
Got it.
Right? So this has a dedicated encryption engine. That's all it does. They use the, what's it called, the Advanced Encryption Standard New Instructions. So it's AESNI. And they've proven that when they did like the Crypto++ security library, that's a test of how well the encryption engine works in a standard CPU without the AESNI. You need about 3.5 CPU cycles per encrypted byte, which is not bad, but it's not good. This does 28. So you can do 28 encrypted bytes per CPU cycle. I mean, it's an order of magnitude faster than older interfaces. If you go ahead and go to the back here, you'll see it's got your standard 4 Ethernet ports. And just like the 1517 that we've been playing with, you can address these individually. So I can have this connected to 4 different networks. I can do all the bridging between them. I've got those 2 USB 3.0 ports back here. I've got a PCIe 3.0 slot. I've got eSATA, 2 eSATA connectors, so I can hook up external drives that if I don't want to use USB. This also uses an M.2 SSD card as cache. So even if I put slower drives in there, I have the ability to speed them up significantly.
Wow.
This PCIe 3.0 slot can be used for a 10 gigabit interface card. So if you're one of these people who's lucky enough to have 10 gigabit Ethernet, you can use this.
You already have that installed over here, is that right?
Right, I have it on the 1517. Yeah. Now, originally, I was going to be bringing the 1517 with me to Rome. I might bring this.
Oh, the 1517 sounds so lonely now. It thought it was going to Rome.
I know, sorry. No!
No.
You're bad and you should feel bad. Ooh, actually, it's probably going to be my DVR here.
It's deleting all of our photos right now.
Oh, we shouldn't have equipped it with AI!
No!
Now, this is cool. This is actually just a first look. I'm going to give everyone a more in-depth look when I've actually had time to sit down. I have to imagine that because it's mostly a hardware update of this, and it's using mostly the same software, that all I'm going to do is I'm going to see a performance boost. I'm going to see the 6 drives. However, you know, Jason, we here at Twit, we think that anything that's worth doing is worth doing stupid crazily.
What are you about to do?
So this morning,
I'm prepared for this.
I went to my desk and had a couple of care packages there.
So did I, but we already talked about that.
See, my care packages weren't filled with air.
That you know of. You haven't opened it yet.
I'm pretty sure I know what's in these. I got a care package. I was talking to a friend over at Kingston. I said, oh, yeah, we're going to be doing these new NASs. And he goes, oh, I have something that might be good for new NASs. Let's find out what Kingston thinks might be good for new NASs. Okay, so I've got a new nucleum, and I think this is probably... Oh, gosh.
What is
that? That's how you pack, by the way, folks.
Yeah.
A 7-in-1 connection.
Oh, you know. Well, just come, oh, how about a 6-pack of SSDs?
Jeez.
A 6-pack of terabyte SSDs. That,
throw that,
that probably,
storage around.
That'll probably work pretty well.
Make it rain.
So this has been one of the biggest complaints from people who have NASs, which is, look, you're still using spinning drives, right?
Right.
Well, we could vastly increase the amount of performance if we don't use... Oh, wait a minute. This is 7.
Huh.
Huh. Okay, well... Padre gets a... Thank you, Kingston, for sending us 6 of those drives that we have. It was very nice of you.
So you're going to drop those in right here. And you'll never need to store or find any more storage for anything that you own.
Well, I mean, that's this will be the trade-off, because this it will turn it into a crazy, ridiculous performance RAID.
Got it.
It's still not going to have all the space that I'd like. I mean, for that, you do want spinning drives, because the price per gigabyte on a spinning drive is so much lower than SSD.
Still almost a terabyte each.
Yeah. Oh, but look at this. Ho, 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 ho. Whoa, they sent me a new Savage, too. I don't even know what that's for, but I'm running out of pockets.
skip the pockets.
I like these guys. No, so, yeah, this is something I wanted to try out, because with a 10 gigabit interface, I could not max it out with spinning drives. I think I can actually get there with SSDs.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, it was just in the way. I didn't want to block the beautiful view.
I was like,
view.
Oh, man, Jason's taking the other 6. I should have gotten what I could.
Don't tell him.
So this is what we're going to be doing. It's probably going to end up as a new screensavers item, but it's going to... Where'd they go, Jason?
Don't worry about it.
See, now, oh, don't put them in. Oh, Alex has them. I'm
Alex
never
has
getting
them
those
I'm
back.
So, this is backfiring.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, fine. Here's your drives.
No, but I think we might actually be able to max a 10 gig interface by using nothing but SSDs and performance RAID. And
nice.
That's what we're going to try.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So, folks, look for this in a future episode. Probably the next episode, actually. Hopefully I can have it ready for that. And then also in the new screensavers. I mean, have I conveyed enough how much fun I'm having with these boxes?
I think a little bit. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to diving further into kind of the plexifying it.
Yeah,
let's say,
yeah.
And doing the cutting the cable stuff.
Yeah, I will say that this 1618 it's not cheap. If you buy it driveless, which is how I would always buy them, it's $800.
Wow.
Yeah, but again...
And then how much are these SSDs?
Actually, those are not that much. 960 gigabyte Kingston SSDs. You know what? I probably should have priced this out, but we did literally just open them up right now.
Yeah.
SSD. They are large, so they're not in the sweet spot of price, but...
They're probably like 3-4.
Oh, no, you know, these are strong. Oh, these are the newer ones.
Yeah.
Oh, these are the UV500s. Okay, so these are $300 a pop.
$300. Okay.
Wow. Thank you, Kingston.
Dang.
I think they're going to Rome. Okay. Folks, look for this in a future episode. I know this has been a lot, but we're going to make sure that we give all of this information in our show notes. That's the step-by-step instructions, which are really short because it's install server, install client.
You give more information in the step-by-step instructions.
We do.
A little bit more than we talked about.
Links to the Synology NAS, to the Kingston SSDs. You'll see them in a future episode. But you can find all that in our show notes. And Jason, where do they go for those?
Well, I believe you go to twit.tv/KH, where you find basically everything.
That's for
everything
Canoe.
That you need.
Canoe how?
Yeah, canoeing and canal.
Yeah. Now, there you're going to find an older picture. Oh, by the way, leave that picture for another 4 weeks, because I'm going to tease. We're doing something cool. But there you'll find all of our back episodes. Also a place to subscribe. This is important, folks. if you want know-how to continue, you got to support us. And the best way to support us is to subscribe so that episodes get automatically downloaded into your device of choice. You can get an audio version, a video version, a high-definition video version, so that you always get your know-how fix.
Yeah.
Again, twit.tv/knowhow, K-H. That's not the only place to find us on the socials, though. You can also find us in Google.
Yeah, Google Plus land, right? Yeah,
which there's actually also a Google Plus app, but I'm not going to install that yet. Just go to Google Plus, look for know-how, ask to be added. Now, I've added a little bit of an approval process just so that the spam accounts don't have an easy go at it. Occasionally, they will slip in. Don't be upset if they do. But once we kick them out, they can never come back in. Mm-hmm. Just go to Google Plus, look for know-how, ask to be added. And once you're in, you get access to almost 12,000 Kitas. Those are our know-it-alls. People in every stage of their maker journey. You can ask questions, answer questions, post pictures and videos of your projects, and just be part of the maker movement that is know-how.
Nice.
Yeah. We also do Twitter, right? It's Twitter.
It's a bird thing. Something along those lines. I'm at Jason Howell if you want to find me there. Yeah. You can find pictures such as this one. The unboxing video coming soon.
Oh my goodness.
I'm happy I recorded the unboxing.
And you're going to find me at twitter.com/PadreSJ. If you follow me there, you'll get to find out what I'm doing. Like, for example, late last night, I was sitting on a runway in San Francisco for an hour and a half.
That sounds like fun.
That was fun.
Welcome back home.
Yeah. By the way, the allergies. Split out.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Finally, we want to thank everyone here who makes this show possible. Oh, and that includes, we call him Fred Sunshine.
Fred, don't we all?
Freddie Sunshine, he comes in every
especially
morning with
the allergies.
Yeah, no, he comes in with a smile. He came in with really, really red eyes the other day, and it was because of allergies. But Freddie, where do they find you on Twitter?
Oh, I'm just at For the Burke.
You can find Freddie at For the Burke.
Excuse me, Padre. It's pronounced Alex, by the way.
I know, because I know that Alex guy. He's like a black hole of light. But yeah. Until next time, I am Father Robert Ballester.
Black hole is right over
literally
there. That's the black hole. And I'm Jason Howell.
And now that you know how,
go install six of them.